Hi, welcome to the Brain Injury Answers Podcast. This is Dr. David Glazer providing the answers you need when a brain injury occurs. This podcast is for educational purposes only. For treatment, please consult your physician. This podcast does not represent the Department of Veterans Affairs. All right, let's get started. Welcome. So today is a little bit different of a podcast. Instead of someone sending us a question in and I'm answering it, we actually have a special guest who's going to answer a series of questions on a special topic about heterotopic ossification, H-E-T-E-R-O-T-O-P-I-C, second word, O-S-S-I-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N. Again, heterotopic ossification, which in short lingo, medical lingo, we just say H-O. So today we have a special guest, David Underhill. He is a fourth year medical student at the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine, where he plans on applying to residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation. And who knows, he may be on a track to being a brain injury doctor. In addition, David Underhill hails from California, where he did his undergraduate studies at Cal State University at Long Beach, where he majored in kinesiology. So, David, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dr. Glazer. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here. It's a pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to talking about this really interesting topic as it relates to PM&R and brain injury.
Excellent, excellent. So, first question, what is HO, otherwise known as heterotopic ossification?
So, heterotopic ossification is defined as the formation of lamellar bone in an extraskeletal soft tissue. So that's a lot of fancy talk for essentially bone that grows in the body in a place where it shouldn't grow. And generally, it'll happen after a specific injury or an event that causes a biological process, which ultimately results in a change in a mesenchymal cell, which is a founding cell for certain tissues like tendons, ligaments, any sort of connective soft tissue, and causes them to undergo a change to change into osteoblasts. And it's significant for PM&R specifically because a lot of the insulting injuries that happen are, you know, processes that are treated by PM&R doctors. So some of the events that can lead to heterotopic ossification formation are spinal cord injuries, traumatic brain injuries. In both of those, they can occur at a rate of about 10 to 20%. It also can follow after burns, some other processes that happen along with the TBI or the spinal cord injury, which may involve a prolonged coma or maybe some limb spasticity, which is a tightening or a spasming of the muscles. It can also occur after a long bone fracture, and pressure ulcers, as well as maybe some swelling. Now, you know, people may ask what exactly, you know, how it forms and why it happens. And the reason for that is they haven't exactly pinned it down. But there's some theories out there. One of the most popular ones being inflammation, that occurs following this insult, an increased level of inflammation leading to an abnormal bone healing that kind of frazzes those mesenchymal cells that we talked about switching into the the osteoblasts.
Okay, great. So basically what I'm understanding, to kind of summarize this first part up of your discussion, is HO is abnormal bone growth, is normal bone growth. Again, HO is normal bone growth in an abnormal location, such as, say, a elbow joint, a hip joint, or a knee joint. And then there are other, on a higher scientific level, fancier terms that you brought up, such as osteoblasts and mesenchymal cells and a lamellar bone. But the basic thing for many of our readers, listeners, to know is that it's really normal bone growth in an abnormal position, place. And when you were talking about how does it form, really nobody exactly knows. There are lots of ideas out there, as you've stated. And in regards to someone developing HO with a brain injury, it's likely because of disruption and injury to the brain causing some sort of hormonal abnormality that sets us off. So to continue on, how would we diagnose HO in a patient? What are we looking for?
So Dr. Glazer, yes, you're absolutely right. It's the formation of bone tissue in places that typically you wouldn't see bone formation. So you may diagnose it first by noticing on a physical exam. So you may see some bone formation in perhaps a knee or a shoulder or even an ankle. It can happen in any sort of joint, but more commonly the larger joints. And these patients will typically present with swelling in the area in the affected joint, or some pain, and decreased range of motion is a big notifying sign. Patients will often mention that they feel a locking of their joint. And these patients may have some other symptoms as well, sometimes a low-grade fever. But if you start to suspect that a patient has HO, you can do a screening test. And one of those tests is the alkaline phosphatase test. And that'll pick up if there's abnormal bone turnover.
Sure. Is that a blood test?
That's a blood test. Yes, that's a blood test that can be done when you're at the hospital. And then if that is positive, then you can then get an X-ray, and that X-ray will help pick up the abnormal bone formation in the joint that you're looking at. And then finally, in order to confirm that a patient does indeed have HO, a triple phase bone scan is the gold standard. And that is, that's an imaging study, and that will definitively show that a patient has HO.
Okay, great. Something I've seen throughout my practice in a few different hospitals is that, yes, we have the gold standards of diagnosis. We have that alkaline phosphatase test, we have the triple phase bone scan, we have X-rays. All this is well and good, but what we found is with X-rays, once you're diagnosing it with an X-ray, it's probably too late for already for some of the treatment and such, and it's probably been developing for quite a while now. Also, the interesting thing about the alkaline phosphatase blood test is that it can be elevated in other diseases as well, such as any sort of liver issues. And there can be common among brain injury patients who've undergone a lot of trauma to have elevated liver enzymes and liver labs that, despite any type of workup, including a liver biopsy, nothing really changes, and just giving time for the body to heal, all those labs start to return to normal. And so how would you treat HO?
So in the clinic, in order to treat HO, there are a couple of approaches. The first, as we love as physiatrists, is the therapy approach. So early range of motion exercises are great for both preventing and treating HO. So you want to get these patients up, you want to get them moving and get them into the gym. Secondly, there is a medication approach, and the mainstay of treatment is an NSAID. So ibuprofen is a common treatment, but generally any type of NSAID is useful and desirable. And there has been some evidence that suggests that giving NSAIDs to at-risk patient populations before the formation of HO may help to reduce its incidence. And then if a patient is having extremely limited range of motion, there is a surgical option as well. And generally, you want to wait until a little bit down the line of the HO fully maturing to remove HO from the joint. That may give you some improved range of motion to the joint. But sadly, oftentimes, the HO does recur. So that's part of the reason that you wait in order to reduce the amount of surgeries that a patient will be subjected to.
Okay, great. So just to give a brief summary, the key points of all these good things you've been talking about today, HO, also known as heterotopic ossification, is normal bone growth in a place where we don't want it to grow, such as a knee joint, hip joint, elbow joint, shoulder joint. We could really single song head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Although we probably will not see it be developing in our head, we do know that a head injury can lead one to gaining this. We can diagnose it with various lab tests and x-rays as well. And the best way to treat it is with therapy, with stretching, with walking, moving, to keep our joints loose, even if this is growing. Also various medications such as NSAIDs, indomethacin, ibuprofen, anything of that sort. Bisphosphonates is also sometimes used as well. And then surgically, in the worst of cases, this can be done, though one is best to wait a while before having surgery to take out the HO, because the HO could keep growing, and why go through surgery for HO to keep growing back? And then some people have gotten radiation to HO, not so much in TBI patients who may have a hip replacement. During the hip replacement, they may shoot a little radiation at it to help prevent it. So that's all very good. So David Underhill, thank you for joining us on the Brain Injury Answers podcast. And I and the podcast wish you well as you continue your journey to becoming a physiatrist, a physical medicine and rehab doctor. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Glazer. It was great great being on the show. I really appreciate you inviting me on here. It was a really fun experience. I'm glad we got to have a conversation about a really interesting and interesting disease. So it's good talking.
Yeah, great. Thank you. For more information, please see David Underhill's PowerPoint presentation on the website www.braininjuryanswers.com. There you can see this in written form, and you can also see some sample x-rays of heterotopic ossification. Thank you. That's a wrap for today. Remember to email all your questions to braininjuryanswers@gmail.com. check out the website, www.braininjuryanswers.com. Thanks for listening.